Good to see everyone again this evening. We trust that you'll be blessed for coming along. I want to read tonight in Mark's Gospel, first of all, in chapter 10. Mark's Gospel and chapter 10. And reading at verse number 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now just turn over to chapter 16. Of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and just reading verse 15, the words of the Lord Jesus, he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then finally, if you could turn to the epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, and reading at verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now that's all we want to read. With the Lord's blessing. If I were to put a little heading over each of these three places where we have read tonight, I would suggest in Mark's Gospel chapter 10, we have a name that is worth hearing. The Bible says a very beautiful thing about Bartimaeus. That he heard that it was Jesus. And then in Mark chapter 16, you could really say there we have a story that is worth telling, where the Lord Jesus gave that commission to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that truly is a story that's worth telling. Not every story is worth telling, but this one is. And then the last one we have read in Hebrews chapter 6, and there we have a hope that is worth having, where the writer says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I trust tonight that you have that hope. Whatever else you might have, may be important, but this is all important, to have this hope. The day that the Lord Jesus came to Jericho was a memorable day. Memorable in many ways, because first of all, he was never there before, and he would never be back there again. And so he was passing by. He was passing through. In fact, in a matter of days, he would go to another city, Jerusalem. In a matter of days, maybe 10 days or so, he would be crucified outside Jerusalem. But on his way, he blesses men and women as he ever did. And the great thing is, he's still doing that. And he's still saving and changing and blessing lives in our world tonight. As he moved through Jericho on that memorable day, it would seem that everybody was out to see him. The place was busy. The crowds were great. The Bible says that there was a great crowd, and there was the disciples, and he was moving along the way. There was a lot of excitement, and no doubt there was a lot of people having a look at this person. No doubt they had heard something about him. Maybe they had heard about his miracles, about how he raised the dead and the many different things that he did. And there was a great air of curiosity all around. And as the crowd surged forward along the road, there was a man who was not in the crowd. He was sitting by the highway. He was blind and he was begging. And you could say he was brokenhearted. He was there in the dust and in the dirt. He was in a great need. You know, I don't know if there's anyone here tonight, and you as an individual would feel your need of Christ. You know, we live in a world where people say and think, well, I've got everything that I need. You know, there's plenty and there's enough, and we can do this and do that, and we've got everything. And yet, you know, if you really stop to think about it tonight, do you have everything? The fact is this, that what you have tonight, will you take it out into eternity? You know, we often say that there's no pockets in a shroud. You'll not take it with you. But you can get something here tonight that you can take with you. You can get God's salvation here tonight. You can know the forgiveness of sins here tonight. And you'll not only have it tonight, but you'll have it for tomorrow, and you'll have it for eternity. And so here's a man who's lying there, sitting by the highway in all his need. And I just want you to think about a few things about him here. The name that is worth hearing, the Bible says that he heard that it was Jesus. In other words, above the noise and the excitement and the chatter and whatever else was going on, as he sat there in his dark and dismal world, he could hear and he heard that it was Jesus. It's the best day of his life. The biggest day of his life. And I can tell you this evening, he's in heaven tonight because of that day that he heard that it was Jesus. Now, what did that name that he heard, what did it do for him? You know, that name that he heard, it brought hope. It brought hope. Hope's a great thing, isn't it? You know, we live in a world where sometimes, you know, people, maybe at the commencement of life, in their earlier life, they're maybe hoping and wishing and ambitions, and there's nothing wrong with ambitions and all of that. And you know, sometimes people can be hoping for different things and bigger things and greater things. I just wish I had that. I just wish that I could have that. And you know, people live their life hoping. Hoping for something more, for something bigger, for something better. Now, the truth is this, that not everyone's hopes are realized. Not everyone's hopes are fulfilled. But here's a name that brought hope. The Bible says that he began to cry. He began to cry, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." You say that was a short prayer. You know, there's not so many really long prayers in the Bible, believe it or not. As far as I know, the longest prayer is that of Solomon, when he prayed at the dedication of the temple, and that might take you 7 or 8 minutes. Of course, there's a few people who are greater than Solomon. But you know, the fact is this, that here is a prayer that was just short. Just a few words. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." It was short. It was simple. It was sincere. It was suitable. And what he asked for, there was sufficient. So there is tonight. He said, "Have mercy on me." In other words, have pity on me. There's a God of mercy tonight. In fact, the Bible says there's a God who is rich in mercy. The Bible tells us about a God who delighteth in mercy. And if it's mercy you want tonight, and if it's mercy you need, then there's a God of mercy. You say, "But my life and the things that I have done." My, listen tonight. Let me tell you this. There's a God who will forgive the penitent, repentant, broken soul. There's a God of mercy. That name that he heard that day, it brought hope. Hope. You know, we sometimes say that the Lord Jesus, that he brought hope to a hopeless world, that he brought light to a dark world, that he brought salvation to a lost world. Where would we be tonight without Christ? My, listen, in this meeting, the reality is this, that here was a man who realized something of his own helplessness and hopelessness, but grasped that the name that he heard and the person who was there could do something for him. And that's what we present in the gospel night after night. There is someone tonight who can do something for you. Do something that no one else can do. That no preacher can do, no religion, no church can do. There's only one tonight who can save your soul and forgive your sin and bring you to heaven and deliver you from hell. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope in Christ. That name that he heard brought hope. But you see, when he cried out in his need, the crowd, they charged him to be quiet. They didn't want to hear him. Well, they had seen him there day after day, and he's only a beggar, and who cares? And it didn't really matter to the crowd, as it were, whether he wakened in the morning or not, whether he lived or died. He was just a liability. He was no asset to society. What was he and who was he? Well, you know, the amazing thing is this. He had a soul. And in fact, he had a soul that, according to what the Lord Jesus said, was worth more than the whole world. What about that? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's one thing tonight about every person in this building and every person in this city tonight, that all souls are equal. That every soul is of the same value. You know, you could go to Buckingham Palace, where the Queen resides, and all the grandeur and all the greatness of it, and she's got a soul. And you could maybe walk not more than several hundred yards, and you might go under a bridge, and you may find someone lying under the bridge, down and out, who's begging. It's hard to conceive that the soul of that beggar is of the same value as the Queen in the palace, but it is. Same value. God says, all souls are mine. There is no classifying in relation to the souls of men and women. They are all of the same value. And that beggar had a soul that was of the same value as any of those people who were telling him to be quiet. They charged him to hold his peace, the Bible says, but he cried the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says a lovely thing. It says that Jesus stood still. You know that the name that he heard, it not only brought hope, but it brought help. Jesus stood still. My, that the disciples came to a stop. The crowd came to a stop. And the whole procession on that Jericho road just all came to a standstill. As a beggar cried for mercy. You know, this evening, there's one thing the Lord will never do. He'll never pass a sinner by. The heart that longs
and the soul that desires and yearns for mercy and pardon and forgiveness, he'll not pass you by tonight. You know, sometimes people can pass you by. Sometimes, you know, maybe someone coming along the street and they maybe don't want to see you and they go over to the other side of the road. The Lord Jesus, he'll not pass you by tonight. He stood still. Way back in the Old Testament, you read about Joshua. And one day he was fighting a battle. And he ran out of time. And he prayed that the sun in the sky would stand still. And the Bible says that it stood still up to the space of a day. That was something. That Joshua prayed and the sun in the sky stood still. But here is something infinitely greater. A beggar, Bartimaeus, prayed, and the Son of God stood still. Jesus stood still. There's someone is going to help him. You know, the fact is, that he's the only one who could help him. And he's the only one can help you tonight and help me tonight. We often say and sing, there's no one can save you but Jesus. There's no other way but this way. There is help tonight. Do you need help? Do you feel your need of Christ? Is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts when the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us. My, listen. The chorus says, yes, there's one. There's only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When afflictions press the soul and waves of trouble roll and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. You know what the psalmist said? He said, I was brought low, and he helped me. When it comes to salvation tonight, I can't do a thing for you. But we can tell you tonight about the man who died for you upon the cross, that he can help you, that he can save you. Jesus stood still. Fanny Crosby wrote many hymns, probably thousands of hymns. We sing many of her hymns, don't we? She lived till she was a great age, 95. Died in 1915. Lived in New Jersey. Was blind from she was about 6 weeks old. And yet, what an amazing life. At times she used to go, led along by a friend, of course, and visit the prisoners in the jails in New York. Going back a long time, of course. On one occasion, with her friend guiding her, she went to one of the prisons in New York and to the prisoners on death row. And she spoke to each one about the Lord. But she came to a prisoner who didn't want to hear, and he was very abusive. He was very angry, very vulgar. She had to go on. But, you know, the story, an amazing story it is, that she came back the next week. The same prison, same prisoners. And one by one, she went to each prisoner. And as they came to this prisoner who had been so abusive and so angry the week before, they made to walk past him, you see. And he pushed his face against the bars of the prison gate of the cell. Do you know what he said? "Pass me not, O gentle lady." Do you know, Fanny Crosby went home that day and she sat down at the piano, and in a matter of minutes she wrote the words, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." He'll not pass you by tonight. There may be people who would pass you by. Human nature, of course. But there's a Savior tonight. He'll not pass you by. Do you really want to know him? Do you really want to trust him? Do you really desire his mercy, his salvation, his grace, his forgiveness? Oh, tonight, is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? The name that he heard, it brought hope. It brought help. Jesus stood still. He commanded that the man would be called, and they said, "Rise, he calleth for thee." And the Bible says, he casting away his garments rose and came to Jesus. What a sight it was. My, I try to picture that man as he wrestled himself onto his feet from the dirt and the dust on the side of the road, and through the crowd he came. And to Christ he came. The Bible says, casting away his garments, he came to Jesus. If you're ever going to be in heaven, you've got to come to Christ. There's just no doubt about that. There's no alternative. There's no fudging it. If you're going to be in heaven, you've got to come to Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. He is the only approach to God and to heaven. And he came to Jesus. I sometimes think, you know, he could have sung those words, "Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee." What about someone here tonight? A boy or girl, a man or woman? Do you feel your need of Christ? There's a God who is rich in mercy. There's a Savior for you tonight. And as he came in all his need, and the Lord Jesus said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." He said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And the Bible says immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You know, that name that he heard, it brought hope and it brought help and it brought healing. Oswald J. Smith from Toronto. He was a mighty man of God. When I was a boy of about 15 or 16, I read one of the books that he wrote. It was entitled, "The Man God Uses." I don't think there was ever a book made as much an impression
upon my life. Oswald J. Smith. One night he listened to a message on Bartimaeus. And he wrote a hymn, you know. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were dim, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bid the darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. That's what happened to Bartimaeus. All was changed. What a name. A name that was worth hearing. You know that name tonight? That he heard. It brought hope. It brought help. It brought healing. It brought heaven. Heaven. Are you going? It's not a fantasy, you know. It's not some fictional thing. It's actually a real place. It is, you know. Heaven. What a wonderful place. Heaven. I'm going to see his face. Oh, how I long to be there one of these days. Heaven. My home forever. Heaven. We'll be together. Oh, how I long to be there one of these days. Are you going? Are you going to heaven? Well, if you're going to be in heaven, you've got to start. You've got to start for heaven. You could start tonight. That day, Bartimaeus started for heaven. He followed Jesus in the way. I haven't time to go into the rest of it tonight, but I just want to mention this briefly. A name that is worth hearing. A story that is worth telling. The gospel. The gospel that tells us of a work that's done. What Christ did on the cross. Of a debt that's paid. That he paid on the cross. Of a way that's opened, that he opened on the cross. That was something, wasn't it? The greatest debt that ever was owed, he paid it all. He owed. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. You know, he didn't pay it in silver or gold. He paid it with something infinitely greater value. Peter says, the precious blood of Christ. Tonight in this meeting,
He paid the debt that you might go free. And there's one simple thing tonight in relation to this for you and me, that we might come into the blessing of this debt that's paid, of this work that's done, of this way that's opened. We've got to accept it. We've got to receive Christ, who did all and paid all and settled all upon the cross. Have you got the hope tonight? You see, Bartimaeus got hope that day. He got hope. And the writer to the Hebrews says, which hope, he says, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and that which entereth into that within the veil, he says. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. See, we're back at the soul again. Now listen, and I'm finished in a minute or two. A hope that is worth having. Just get the picture. Life is the sea. If you take life as being the sea, the soul as the ship. Hope as the anchor. You know, when a vessel, a ship, is in danger and drifting towards the shore and towards the rocks, where it could be severely damaged in days gone by, what did they do? They lifted the anchor and they threw it over. And the anchor went down. And they couldn't see it. And then you see it trailed along the bed of the ocean, and then it gripped a rock unseen below, and the rope began to tighten, and the anchor holds. That's how anchors of earth, they're thrown down. But here's an anchor that's thrown up. Here's an anchor that's not cast down, but cast up. And what does it do? It lays hold of Christ, the unseen solid rock within the veil. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. Are you anchored tonight? You know the old hymn, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. I hear something tonight. A name that is worth hearing. A story that is worth telling. A hope that is worth having. We have an anchor. Now listen to what he says. He says, an anchor of the soul, he says, which is both sure and steadfast. It's sure, that means it cannot slip. It's steadfast, that means it cannot snap or break. You see, anchors that men throw down from ships, they could slip, they could break. But here's an anchor that's sure and steadfast. Are you anchored tonight? Which hope we have. Do you have this hope tonight? The hope for the world to come. What a hope. If you haven't thrown out the anchor, would you do it tonight? Lay hold of Christ. The Christ who lives exalted to God's right hand. It'll not slip. It'll not break. Because it's just like this. Where the anchor is thrown, that's where the anchor will bring you. It's cast into heaven, and that's where it's drawing you, you see. I cast the anchor all those years ago, and that anchor is drawing me to where it was cast, to heaven itself. What a hope. Shall we pray?